Good evening, everyone. How are you? Let me get myself organized here. My wife on the way here tried to read my notes and she wasn't able, so I decided to go ahead and wear my glasses so maybe I can read what I wrote as well. So I don't have a PowerPoint or anything for you this evening, but we are going to be speaking about the woman at the well. Out of the book of John. So, since I don't have anything up on the screen, I'm going to go ahead and read part of it. So, I'm going to start John chapter 4, starting in verse 7. Little backstory here. Jesus is traveling to Samaria, goes to this wonderful town called, I'm going to mispronounce it, but Sychar. Which actually means drunken or lying town. So, starting in verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," notice she just changed how she addressed him. She went from Jew to sir. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to her, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you have is not your husband. What you've said is quite true." I want to pause for just a second right there. I'm a history guy. I enjoy history. I like learning about history, but I like context. Time, location, very, very important. This conversation is taking place at about noon, which is odd. It's not a normal time for somebody to go out into the desert and draw water. I try not to go outside at noon. Anybody who's been in the desert probably doesn't either. But context. We're in Samaria. The five husbands is very, very significant here. Samaria historically is a land that was opened up and five pagan groups came in to intermarry and have children with the Jews. Don't let the five husbands part throw you off. Did this woman have five actual husbands? It's a very good possibility she did. She would be considered an immoral woman. Samaria was an immoral country, according to the Jews. So the five husbands represent the five pagan nations that came in. The sixth one would represent what we understand as Christianity today. She was not married. There was not a covenant at that time with the Samaritans, just like there was not a covenant at that time yet, because Jesus still has not been crucified, with Christians and the Jews. She's considered an immoral woman. That can have a lot of connotations. There is a good possibility that the reason that she had been married as many times as she had is because she could not bear children. She was likely not a prostitute, which I've heard for years and years and years that she was a prostitute. The man that she was living with is because during that time, the most vulnerable people in that culture was a single woman. She didn't have a choice. She had to be in this relationship. A man would not have married her at this point. So, moving on. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you're a prophet. So she went from Jew to sir. Now she understands that he is a prophet. But she changes the narrative because she doesn't want to talk about it. She doesn't want to talk about what she has gone through, what her life is, and she sure doesn't want to talk about water. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Samaritans don't have a temple. They don't have anywhere to go to worship. The beautiful thing about Jesus and his sacrifice to us is we don't have to travel to Jerusalem. We don't have to travel to a mountaintop. We can worship God where we are as he wants us to. Going on, Jesus declared, believe me, woman. Same woman wasn't a bad thing. A time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. Amen. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. It is the first recorded instance that Jesus comes out and directly says that he is the Messiah. He's alluded to it before, but it's the first time that he comes. What's unique about this is the fact that he did it to a Samaritan. For context, in the book Ben Sirah, it's written by a second century Jew. He was a rabbi. Two nations my soul detests, and the third is not even a people. That's how much the Jews hated the Samaritans. They also said, whoever eats the bread of a Samaritan, it's like eating the flesh of a swine. Well, we know the Jews absolutely are not allowed to eat pork. The fact that Jesus even asked her for a drink of water was just absolutely detestable, because in that culture, a Jew could not share a vessel of any kind with a Samaritan, or they would be unclean. Think about that for a second. What kind of country do we live in? Looking around, we have people from all over the place here. Can you imagine living in that culture? Can you imagine how shocking this story would have been to anyone who would have read it? There's another reason, though, that the Jews did not like the Samaritans. They didn't have accurate translations of the first five books. An example that I'm going to give is in Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verse 10. Let me get to it. The true Bible says, "Since then no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." The Samaritan Bible changes it a little bit. It's amazing that this woman actually believed that Jesus was the Messiah. The Samaritan Bible says, "Since then there will not be a prophet who is risen in Israel like Moses." So, context. We have this woman who shouldn't even be talking. Jesus shouldn't even be talking to her. In that culture, men were not allowed to have conversations with women in public. It wasn't allowed. You could, if the woman had a shop, you could shop there. You could buy something. You couldn't talk to her. You couldn't teach her. There's absolutely no reason why, in that culture, that Jesus should have taken the time for this woman. This woman who is going to the well in the middle of the day because she is avoiding everybody else that's there. How many people like that do we run across? How many people do we meet that avoid having that interaction with other people? They don't want to talk to others. They're embarrassed, they're whatever the reason is. But Jesus took the time to sit and talk to her. He treated her like a person, as we all should be. One of the things that we need to always keep in mind with every person that we meet every day is, when it comes to our faith, do not confuse their doubt with unbelief. This woman doubted. She didn't have the full story. She only had a portion of it, and what she had was mistranslated. So that brings me to my second point. Do not confuse ignorance with stupidity. I don't think this woman was stupid. The way that she talked and the questions she asked, she knew what she was doing. She had, at some point, studied in some manner. Don't confuse ignorance with stupidity. She was just ignorant. When we look at our world today and all of the different religions and things like that, they just need to know the truth. The truth is here. It's not in another book. It's not in another writing. It's not a different prophet. It's Jesus. That's all that matters. Jesus didn't condemn her for any of this. Matter of fact, it could be argued that she was the first evangelist outside of Jesus. She went to the town. She told the town folk. By the way, there is a debate on how much of a town there really was here. Because if you go into Judges, this town was destroyed. The fields were salted. I forgot to write down the date, but I believe that it was around 629 BC that this town was sacked. Our job as Christians is not to condemn. It's to teach. It's to love. I know I need to do a better job of that. I look at the world today and I shake my head and I say, what in the world is happening? I believe every generation, though, looks at the world at some point and says the same things to themselves. I don't think that we're any different than the 1860s, for example. We have hope. We know we have hope. We know that Jesus, if Jesus loved this woman, how do we say that Jesus does not love us as humans just as much? He took that time. He loved her. Jesus had a soft spot, it appears, for Samaritans. There's a reason why there's the Good Samaritan. There's a reason why the hospital in my town, hometown of Omaha, Nebraska, was Good Samaritan Hospital. We have to understand the context of who the Samaritans were and how they are looked at the time that the Bible was written to understand the prejudices against them and why it is so important that Jesus loved them in that society, in that culture, in that time, because nobody else did. That's what we should be doing. And I'll finish with this. The thing that gives me the most hope about this story, and it's one of my favorite stories, I'd probably hang out with John. He'd be my favorite disciple. But we understand that in this encounter, in this interaction with this woman, it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that in Christ, our Lord, all things are new. Everyone can be redeemed. Everyone deserves to be redeemed in Christ. The way that we do this is by being baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. This story doesn't specifically say that Jesus or that this woman was baptized. But we know later on, in other encounters and other stories, baptism is a fundamental part of creating that covenant. We can't do it on our own. Like Bruce said, you can't do it when you're a baby. You don't have any sin when you're a baby. And you're not being baptized for anyone else. It's all for you. No one can do it for you. If your time has come to put on the cloak of Christ and be baptized for the remission of your sins, why not now? I thank you all. It's been a number of years since I've given any type of lesson. I didn't pass out, and I think I made it through it.